Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together and we can worship you and give you praise and we can study your word. And I pray that the word would challenge us today, that it would encourage us, that it would strengthen us. Father, we just give you all the praise. Take a coal from the altar and cleanse my lips. Let me speak forth the absolute truth of the word of God today, that it would change us and transform us into your image. Father, we just thank you that you're continuing to work in our lives. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Hallelujah. So I have preached this message before. I don't know when. It was sometime ago that I preached this. And the title of my message today is The Prayer of Faith. And so I was getting ready this week, I was looking through some material and looking through some different things, and I came across a book, and I started reading it, and it reminded me of this message. And so then I went back through some of my older messages, and I found it again, and I thought, you know, it just sounds familiar, but I just really felt led that I was supposed to share on this again, especially after the last several weeks of what we've been talking about in faith and staying in the Word of God and praying the Word of God over situations. This is kind of a practical teaching on the prayer of faith, and I'm probably going to take a couple weeks to do it, to go through this particular message. I'm not going to try to hurry through it. I'm going to hopefully allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work in me and reveal some things that he wants to share with us. But in James chapter 5 is where we're going to start. James chapter 5, verse 15. And it says, "The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he shall be forgiven. So when the promise is prayed, or when the word of God is spoken, and the name of Jesus is invoked, the Lord shall raise up the sick and forgive him of his sins." Now, this promise is not only for preachers and for the elders of the church, but it's for all who believe and know how to pray the prayer of faith and release the word of God into a situation. So when we are praying and when we pray the prayer of faith in any situation, when we pray for someone, the power of God immediately comes in and begins to do a miraculous work, not because of us, but because of the power of God that works through us, and it'll begin to work into a situation. And this is for all of us, no matter who we are, as long as we're brave enough to pray. Somebody just told me this morning that there's only one person they've ever been brave enough to pray. I meant to ask them, did it work out? But you gotta pray. Here's the thing is we all think sometimes that, you know, cause we hear some magical preacher or some, you know, pontificating, you know, powerful, all powerful preacher preach and pray. And we think, oh, I'll never be able to pray like that. Well, just cause you can pray in public doesn't necessarily mean God's listening. I'm sorry. I probably should have said that different. You know what I mean? Because the Pharisees, I mean, even Jesus scolded the Pharisees for going out in public and praying, you know, without the right heart. And I think God comes to us with wanting the right heart, the right motive behind the prayer. What is your heart after him and after seeing his power revealed in people's lives? Because that's when I think God is going to manifest himself. That's when God is going to begin to do things. If we go in, continuing in James chapter 5, in verse 16, it says, "The effectant, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man with a like nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months." Now, Elijah was a man like us. And I've said this many times, and referred to this many times, that Elijah is a man just like us. He had moments of great faith where he called down the fire of heaven, and then he had moments when his faith wasn't so great, when he ran in fear from the queen crying like a baby. There were times when his faith was not strong. But when he prayed the prayer of faith, God answered his prayer and manifested himself through the prayers of his prophet. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, this is where we find the condition of God which Elijah prayed about. But in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16 and 18, it says, "Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you shall perish quickly from the good which the Lord has given you. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes." So in other words, the Lord is warning them in Deuteronomy of all the laws and all the stuff that he's laying down in Deuteronomy for them to do. And he's saying, look, you need to obey me and follow me. And if you do that, I'll bless you. And if you don't do that, I'm not going to bless you. It's going to be tough for you. So then later on, this was the word of the Lord to the children of Israel. And then later on, when the children of Israel were disobedient to this word, when they were disobedient to the word of God, Elijah, the prophet, showed up and he prayed in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. He says, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except by my word." And the heavens closed up and it stopped raining. And the people quickly lost the fruit of the land. They quickly began to be hungry. They quickly began to go, uh-oh, we're in big trouble now. And so they turned to God. Now, I don't want to draw a parallel here, but I'm gonna. In America today, we keep thinking that the right president is going to change things for us. And God keeps saying, you cannot continue to be disobedient to me. You can't call on me only... That's what I think. I can't even believe... I would never even thought that God would have been booed, even at the Democratic convention. That the name of God would be booed at the Democratic... I couldn't even fathom that something like that would ever happen. Are you kidding me? And then we wonder what is going... Listen, it's going to dry up. I mean, are we in a drought right now? I don't know. Are we in an economic drought? I don't know. Is this the judgment of God on America to get its stuff together? I mean, it was greed that got us where we are. Now it's going to be on our knees that we get back. It's only going to be if, as a nation, we repent. Is if we humble ourselves and draw near to God and say, God, forgive us for our sins. I mean, we worship sports, not God first, in so many things. I mean, there's literally people right now that are staying home from church and worshiping God right now, even though they have a DVR and a VCR, and they're staying home so they can watch the game because their favorite team is playing, and God has to understand that their favorite team is playing. And I'm not knocking, listen, I'm not saying that we should not enjoy the fruits of our labor and that we should not enjoy certain things in life. But when those things start to rise above our God, it's a problem. When you know, the Bible says that as the day of the Lord draws near, that we should want to be in church more, not less. We're in church less, people. You know how I know? Because I'm here every Wednesday. And we're here less. Fewer of you come on Wednesday, and fewer of you are here. I mean, I remember just a couple of years ago, this we had more. And many of them aren't anywhere now. Because they got offended from the word. I don't understand why. I just talked to I played golf with a couple of pastors a couple of weeks ago. And I remember when I was in Bible college, literally they told us if you can't, because back then guys would preach for over an hour. You know, there are some guys who would preach for over an hour, hour and a half, they'd preach, okay? And they would preach that long, and some of you are thinking, what? And so when I was in Bible college, they told us that if we couldn't get it said in 35 to 40 minutes, that we didn't know what we were talking about. So I kind of learned to preach about 35, 40 minutes, and sometimes longer. I always figured I would go until I was done talking about whatever God wanted me to talk about. But today, you know what, that one of those, these are older ministers. You know what they told me? They told me if you can't get it said in 15, 20 minutes, you shouldn't even be talking. I said, 15, 20 minutes? I don't even get through the announcements in 15, 20 minutes. I'm thinking I gotta preach in 15, 20 minutes? I don't even get warmed up. But you know what? There's a lot of people really like church when it's only 15, 20 minutes long. But the day of the Lord is drawing closer because Paul said if it's close now, and if it was close for Paul, it's closer for us now. And if that's true, then we should be hungering after the word more and more and more and more. We should be desiring to be in God's presence more, not less. We should not want, listen, God, I've got a lot of things going on. The kids are playing soccer. They're doing this. They're doing that. I've got a lot of things. I've got to get ready. Listen, we can't have Sunday night services anymore because you know what? The kids are just out too late and it's really difficult to get them up on Monday mornings to go to school. So we no more Sunday nights, please. Even though the kids stay up till 9 or 10 o'clock on Sunday night, watching TV, playing video games all day. Hey, I see that stuff on Facebook sometimes. When I was a kid, you know, outside is where we played. I mean, we had to use our imaginations. We had to go do. I don't know. My kids have still tried to get me to play those games. I go, man, I don't want to play those games. Listen, if you want to go play football, let's go play football. You know. If you want to go play basketball, let's go. I don't want to push a bunch of buttons to play basketball. I mean, let's go outside and play basketball. You know? That's what I do. Oh, well, not anymore. I mean, I'm a little old and beat up now. My body doesn't take it anymore. Maybe because I played way too much basketball. Maybe when they're my age, they'll be able to handle it without a problem. They'll still be able to play with or if they don't have carpal tunnel or whatever it is. No, I just, you know, it's just interesting to me that God, even in the Old Testament, said, look, you watch out. Watch out because lest your hearts get deceived and you turn away and serve other gods without even knowing it. Begin to worship other things, like other things are more important than coming into the house of God and learning about the Word of God and studying the Word of God and knowing when you leave that, man, you know what? I had to pull my toes back a few times because pastor almost stepped on my toes. We don't want messages that challenge us, that make us recognize that there are areas of our lives where we need to make some changes. We want to know how to balance our checkbook, and we want to know how to have our best life now and enjoy all the, and I don't mean any terrible things because I actually kind of enjoyed that book, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, it is our best life now, but our best life now still has challenges. It still has things to overcome. We still have to get on our knees and begin to pray and see God do something miraculous. We still have to step out there and say, okay, God, use me today in some way at work. Use me some way at the post office, at the grocery store. Take my life and use it in a way that would glorify you. Let me be a conduit of your power and of your praise in someone's life. Let something be transformed out there. Let some homeless guy get renewed and his life get changed. Let somebody that's sick and ailing be healed by your touch, because you spoke to me, Lord, to pray for them, and their life began to change. And see, when we do that, when we get in a position where we begin to pray, when we repent and we turn back and we get to God, see, this is what happened. The people of God got desperate. They got desperate for God to move in their lives. They returned to the Lord. They returned to God and said, we repent of our sins. We have put other things as a priority ahead of you, and we're turning back now to you, O God. And we're saying, God, you are the Lord of our lives, and we're going to focus our attention on you. And when they did that, Elijah, see, what happened is this king, Ahab or whatever, A-H-B-A-B, huh? Oh, I did? Oh, see, look at that, I said it right. So Ahab goes and he tears down all the idols to Baal. He tears down and destroys all the false idols that they had going on because he was tired of being hungry. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired. He was tired of it as king. And he said, we're going to tear it all down, and we're going to turn our eyes and our focus towards God. And that's what they did. The whole group just turned and focused their attention on God. And then Elijah said in Kings 18:41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundant rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now and look towards the sea. So he went up and he looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a small cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now, as it happened in the meantime, that the sky became black with clouds and the wind, and there was a heavy rain. The prayer of faith can be prayed anywhere, any place, any time. Sometimes the prayer happens immediately, but sometimes there's a waiting period, a meantime while the clouds build up, until the prayer of faith becomes the prayer of fact. Even before Elijah saw a cloud the size of a man's hand, he knew the rain was on its way. He told the king to go eat and drink. Rain came, rain is coming, and then he went and prayed. He told the king, go eat and drink, because I'm about to go pray and I'm going to get some results. It took the servant seven times before he spotted the cloud. That's what we call praying through. Seven times he kept sending the servant out to look for the cloud. When you see a little cloud gathered up, okay, that'll be good. When you see the cloud gathered up, then I know it's good. Now, I don't know what your cloud is. I don't know when you know you prayed through. But I know this, you will. I know that you'll know when you prayed through. If you get on your face and begin to pray and ask God to intercede and intervene in a situation, and you begin to pray the word of God over a situation, and you begin to release God's word into a situation, I know you'll know exactly when you've prayed through. And I don't know whether that's going to take you 7 times or 1 time or 10 times or 3 times or 12 times. I don't know when that is. Only you know when that is. Because you know how I know? Because you'll get a witness in your spirit that you prayed through. And you know when you should get up off your knees? When you get that witness. And not until then. See, some of us just drop something arbitrarily as we're walking out to the car. Oh God, hey, by the way, you know I have a need here. Here's the bill in my hand. Would you meet it? And then we jump in the car and we take off and we think, and then two weeks later, we're wondering, where's the money for the bill? But we didn't pray through. We just threw out something and said, hey, God, here it is. Now, in the old days, that's what we used to do. I tell a story oftentimes when I was in Bible college. We had a joke that we used to tell each other, that if you wanted to quit whatever you're doing, you go see Vic Tremor. If you want to talk about whatever you're doing, you go see Chris Howard. Because now Chris Howard, bless his heart, love him, great man of God. Vic Tremor, gone on to be with the Lord, great man of God. But Vic Tremor would sit there and chew on the end of his pencil and look at you with this, the way he could, only Vic Tremor could look at you. And he would look at you and he was this, he's kind of a heavy, ball-headed, Pentecostal crazy man preacher, you know, and he would look at you and he would just chew on his pencil, and then you'd get done telling him whatever, says, brother or sister, we gotta pray through. And then he'd make you get on your knees right there in the office with him, and you just start praying until you get a breakthrough, until you just knew when you got up that you were done, that it was finished, that God was going to take care of it, that you'd put it in the hands of God and it was done. That was Vic Tremor. Vic Tremor was, let's pray through. Let's get on our knees and pray until something happens, until we see the cloud on the horizon. Let's pray. He didn't get up until he knew the cloud was on the horizon. He didn't have to see the first raindrops. He just needed to see the cloud on the horizon. And that's how much we have to desperately pray. We have to pray until we see the cloud on the horizon and we know that God has heard us and we know that God will answer our prayers. That's what we have to do. We have to pray like that and begin to pray that way. He told the king to go do that, praying through, waiting until the prayer actually materializes. Took time. It took time for the clouds to all gather together and the rain begin. But once he knew that God had heard his prayers, he knew it was over. He knew the rain was on its way. Begin to prepare. You know, it's funny when you go to pray, you can always tell the person that's going to pray through in a prayer service for rain and the ones that aren't. You know how you know? Because the guy that's going to pray through, he brought an umbrella. The guy that's going to pray until it rains brought an umbrella because he knew God was going to hear him. The guy that shows up at the prayer service without an umbrella isn't really expecting rain. You might have to think about that for a little while. You have to go with the anticipation that what you're praying for is going to be answered. And if you don't show up with an umbrella, how do you expect it to rain? Do you really think God's going to answer your prayer? Go with confidence before God. And it may take some time. It may take a week, a month, a year. As it was with Abraham. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise of his son. 25 years. Noah waited 120 years before the predicted rain arrived. 120 years. I love the story of Noah because he was the crazy guy on the corner building an ark, a boat, and it had never, ever rained before. And telling everybody for 120 years, it's going to rain. It's going to flood. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. For 120 years, can you imagine me in the loon standing on the corner saying Jesus is coming back? And then when he does, everyone's like, oh no. When the rains came, I'm sure the people were wondering, what do we do? Joseph waited 14 years in prison before for a crime he did not commit before his vision that God had placed in his life came to pass. 14 years in prison for a crime he did not commit before God moved and had the vision come to pass. The children of Israel waited 400 years in captivity before Moses showed up. And he was probably 80 when he showed up. He'd been around for a while. I heard John Bevere say, if we are complaining to God, we are saying that we're dissatisfied with what God is doing in our lives. We're not happy with the way God's handling things. It is during the waiting period that the Bible states that we are to walk by faith, that we are to fight the good fight of faith, that we are to live by faith. In other words, we believe God has heard our prayers and the answer is on its way. It is during this waiting period that Satan attacks and tries to destroy our prayer of faith. I want to look at an example real quick here of in Mark chapter 11 of Jesus in Jesus's life. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 12, it says, now the next day, when they had come The next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was angry. Or no, he wasn't. He was hungry. Man, I got to put my glasses on. Honey, this is too small. He was angry and seeing... What, he wasn't angry? Oh, where are my glasses? Let me see. Yep, he was hungry. Look at, man, everything has just suddenly become clear to me now. He was hungry. And seeing afar off a tree, a fig tree, having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for the figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now let's go to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them and you will have them. Now let me look here just as a point of reference in Revelations 8:8 is where it talks about the mountain falling into the sea, but we'll talk about that probably next week now because I'll probably only just finish up this last page or so and then we'll pick it up next week. But when Jesus was nearing Jerusalem, he was hungry. He saw a fig tree and he stopped to eat, but there were no figs. Now there should have been figs on the tree because figs come first and then the leaves, okay? Now, so this tree was out of order. Even if it was not the season for the figs or for a fig tree, it was showing itself as though it was the right time, as though it had figs on it, because the figs come and then the leaves come. And when you see the leaves on a fig tree, that means go eat the figs because they're ready, okay? And so Jesus looked over, saw the leaves from afar off, and went over to eat, and there was no figs on it. Now, the Bible says that it wasn't the season for it. Even if it wasn't the season for it, the fig tree was out of order because it shouldn't have the leaves on there. It shouldn't have been telling Jesus, hey, come eat my figs, because there were no figs to eat. Does that make sense? And so it was out of order. So at this point, Jesus spoke a word of faith and commanded the tree to die because it was out of order. because it was not in order. And he had dominion over everything. And so, just like you and me, so he spoke to the tree and told it to die. Now, to the human eye, there seemed to be no change. But the words that Christ spoke were not just meaningless words. They were in the meantime. When he spoke them, they did what they were supposed to do. You just couldn't tell. Jesus actually says in John chapter 6, verse 43 and 44, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus often said, only believe. The words of God are powerful and can transform and change situations. But you have to believe that that's true. You have to stand on the word of God and begin to see those things manifest themselves. You have to begin to place those things in. When spoken in faith, when the words were spoken in faith by Christ, death set in immediately to the roots of the trees. When he said, be cursed and die, the roots were destroyed at that very moment. When we pray, we should be praying for the root of the problem, not the effect or the symptoms of the problem. So we do not look at the symptoms to determine whether or not God has heard our prayers, but we believe that we've destroyed the root of the problem. When you pray for things, people, this is just a thing that I've kind of gotten out of the word that you should be doing, okay? And I recommend that you do it. Pray to the root. Don't pray to the symptom. If you've got a headache, okay, don't pray that your headache would go away. Because, listen, if you don't pray to the root of the headache will return. So when you pray for the headache, you pray to the root cause of that headache. You pray to the very root that the root would be destroyed. Whatever's causing the headache would be destroyed and made well. If you got a bump on your arm, don't pray for the bump on your arm. Pray to the root of the bump on your arm. Because listen, when the root is killed, the bump will disappear. The headache will go away and not return. Does that make sense? Because you prayed to the root of the problem. If you have a problem with drugs or alcohol or anything else, don't pray to the symptom. Pray to the root. What is the root thing that needs to be destroyed? God revealed to me the root thing that drives me to drugs so that I would destroy the root of my drug problem so that the tree would wither up and die because the root is broken and the root is destroyed. Does that make sense to you guys? You gotta pray specifically to the root of whatever the issue is. Don't pray for, I don't want to say don't pray for people's healing, but pray for people's healing, but pray to the root of the problem of the healing, whatever it is. Whatever the root cause is of that manifestation of the sore leg or the sore back. Pray to the root of the problem and drive the root out and drive that out and curse the root so that it will begin to wither up and die. After you have prayed the prayer of faith for the root of a situation in your life, it may appear that nothing has happened. Instead of your spouse getting closer to the Lord, they may become worse. Instead of getting the uninspected check in the mail, to help with the bills, your roof may cave in, your car may break down, and the refrigerator may stop. This means Satan is fighting us during this waiting period. In the meantime, he's trying to make us think that God is not answering our prayers. And I want you to write this down. Everyone needs to write this on their notes. Just write this down, because this is an important thing. I want you to get this written down. Are you ready? Here it is. The devil is a liar. Did you get that? That's it. The devil is a liar. He's lying to you. He's not telling you the truth. He wants you to stop believing that God is answering your prayers. He wants you to begin to complain and argue and wonder, God, where are you? What are you doing? Because believe me, It was just a few weeks ago where I was doing that very thing. I'm saying, okay, God, we got some problems here and God, I really could use your help. And so then I started praying instead of to the symptoms that were manifesting themselves. I started praying to the root of the problem. Myself, I said, you know what? I gotta pray. And when I prayed to the root of the problem, things did not get better immediately financially for us. It was looking rather gloomish. We tried to do something. And in fact, we tried to do something to help our finances and it just made them worse. And we're like, oh, now what do we do? Oh no, we've done this and now. So I repented. I said, okay, God, I tried to fix this thing. I thought this was a good thing. I didn't really pray about it. I just went ahead and did it. And so what did I do? I prayed. I asked God. I repented of my sin. And within 3 days, God replaced that money. And then we got even more. And I got a job. And all of a sudden God starts, and I'm like, oh man, why would I ever doubt what you would do? Why would I listen to that liar, the devil, who's just trying to mound things on top of me that seems to be stressed. I can't stress over the things I can't change. The devil is a liar and that's just what he is. But God is all powerful and God will hear our prayers and God will answer our prayers. But there is a mean time sometimes when the devil is just flat mean, trying to destroy your faith to believe for a miracle to happen in your family's life and a total transformation of your life. Did you know that since I've been praying for a vision of God for over 25 years, that God showed me a vision. Okay? For 25 years. And it still hasn't happened. But I have not given up on that same dream. I have not given up on that same vision that God's given me. It's still there. It's still sitting there. I'm still waiting on God to bring it about. Well, what are you doing to bring it about? I'm praying and believing. And I'm not trying to believe the devil. I'm trying to believe God. God's going to bring it to pass. I have always prayed that my kids would be more successful than me. And believe me, there are times when I have wondered whether that's coming to fruition. But I'm telling you right now, when I went to boot camp and served in the Navy, my career was nothing like the guy who's there now. And I wouldn't, and you know what? I wasn't praying that my second son would join the military, but he did. And when he did, he's doing it way better than I ever did it. And that's an answer to my prayer that he would do that he would accomplish greater things than me, that he would do better than me. And I, you know, here's the hardest part for all of them. They got to get a better wife than me. Because I've always prayed that they would get a better wife than me. And this is the hard part for them. I mean, all the rest of it is pretty easy because I'm not so good at all the rest of it. But I managed somehow by a miracle of God to get a great wife. And so I'm praying that they get a better wife. But man, that's going to be a challenge. But God is greater than that challenge, isn't he? Amen? Well, say amen because my wife's wonderful. Amen. Listen to him. Amen. All right. What we do not know is that God may be sending, when we're praying, what we do not know is that God may be sending a Christian to work with our spouse, to influence him or her for Christ. This person may live in another town, but God is speaking to them and telling them to move to our city just so that your prayers can be answered. Please understand it takes time to develop and God is beginning to act in accordance to your faith and in faith instantly when you pray. God is, when you're praying for something, God is going to work right then. God is beginning to destroy the root of the problem. But does that mean that it's gonna that there might not be some distractions and some things that may look? Hey, it could happen. It may happen instantaneously. In fact, next week, I think I'm going to show a video of some instantaneous healings, some people out praying just before I get started in praying, in teaching again on prayer, because I saw a really good video this week on that. The thing about it is that it may take some time. It may happen instantaneously. I've prayed for the sick and seen them instantaneously healed. I prayed for people with cancer and they went to the doctor and the doctor went in and just pulled the lump of cancer out and it wasn't even attached to anything. They just went in there and they said, I don't know why it wasn't attached, but it was just laying there. And we just pulled it out. I prayed for people and there are examples, which I'll talk about next week, where the lepers were healed on their way, where the son of the centurion who came for the healing of his son, of his servant, he was healed on the way. These are things that it doesn't always happen instantaneously, but God, when you know that God has heard your prayers and you've prayed, he begins to go to work. There's a vision, and I'll have to look it up this week and maybe I'll talk about it. It's not in my notes, but I'll maybe talk about it next week because I always found it interesting. It's called Jacob's Ladder, and there's a portion of scripture where I think it's Jacob, sees a vision, because it's Jacob's Ladder, sees a vision of angels ascending and descending on a ladder, you know? And I often try to tell people that when you dispatch angels or you dispatch something into a situation, that sometimes it takes a while to climb up and down the ladder. You know, it takes a while for the angel to climb down the ladder. Now you're saying, well, angels could just fly over there. Well, yeah, sure they could. But the illustration to me speaks to that sometimes there's a meantime where there's some ladder climbing going on in our prayers. And God hears our prayers and then he's sending the answer down the ladder. And they're climbing down and it's coming to you. Your answer is coming. God may be preparing you for a new job with higher pay and a salary, or beginning to send a new business in your direction to bless you, but the answer is on the way the moment you release your faith to God. The clouds are forming and the rain is coming. Are you prepared? Are you ready for God to answer your prayer? Are you getting prepared? Are you praying that God would open up a business opportunity for you? And if you are you preparing your life so that you can go to work right away? If you're looking for a job, are you scheduling things during the time period you're looking for that job? Are you putting things out so now when you go into the job and you walk into the interview, are you telling the person that's interviewing you for the job all the reasons why you can't be there over the next 3 weeks because life's gotten in the way? Do you see what I'm saying? Make plans to hear your prayers answered. Hey, listen, if you're supposed to be looking for work, if you're trying to find a job, why don't you look for a job during the time that you'll want the job instead of going and doing other stuff? Oh. Go out and start making sure your time. Hey, can you go to work? Yes, I can. I've been every day. I'm looking during the time I'm supposed to be working. I'm looking for a job. Oh, you are? Yeah, so I got no plans other than to quit looking for a job. Because that's what I've been doing. Does that make sense? When you need prayer, when you want to see healing in your life, start praying for that healing and knowing that your body is recovering. Because God answers your prayer. He is always faithful to answer your prayers. Well, you may say, well, you know, but you pray and sometimes the answer is no. Where does it say that? It says yes and amen. You know when it says no? Is when you're asking amiss, which means you're asking outside of the will of God. Well, Pastor, how do you ask in the will of God? The Word of God tells you. What is the will of God for your life? Look in the Word. He wants everyone to be healed. Everyone? Yes, everyone. All are to be healed. All are to be blessed. All are to be filled with the Holy Ghost. All are to be saved. All. That's God. God is all. Really? Yes. Really. God is all. What hinders him? Me and you. Our faith. The devil that lies. What's the one thing we know today for sure? The devil is a liar. And God is true. And God will answer your prayers. Let's pray. I'll pick this up again next week. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to just come and hear your word. And Father, I just pray that you would continue to anoint your word as people leave this place today, that their hearts and their lives would just be renewed in you and strengthened in you, and their faith would be encouraged. If they have spoken to the root of their problem, Father, that whatever it is that they're praying about, that would begin to dry up and that it would begin to be destroyed right now in the person's life or in their own life. Whatever it is that they're praying about, God, whatever it is, whether they need healing or financial blessing or whatever it is, God, that you would just begin to do a miraculous work. And then we would prepare to give you glory in what you're doing, God. There are so many that are sick and ailing right now within the body of Christ. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And God, I just pray that you would destroy the root of the sickness that holds them down right now in the name of Jesus. That you would destroy it in Jesus' name. And that they would be completely made whole. Now, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you haven't asked him into your heart and life. If you'd like to accept Christ as your Savior, please slip up your hand and we'll pray with you real quickly. We don't want to miss an opportunity for you to know Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord, I just pray for everyone here right now. Bless them, be with them, strengthen them. All of us have challenges in our lives that we're going through. And God, I pray that we would find the Word of God, place it into that and release it into that situation by the word of faith. And that God, by the prayer of faith, that we would release it into that situation. And God, that you would just miraculously begin to do supernatural things in our lives. God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. Open up opportunities for us to pray the prayer of faith into people's lives. God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory. And everyone said, amen, amen.